What does one infamous convicted killer think of another? That's what we wondered. And that's why when I interviewed Charles Manson last week, I asked him what he thinks about Ted Bundy, the serial killer who recently died in Florida's electric chair. Here's that and a couple of other final words from Charles Manson.
Bundy's a rumpkin. Bundy's a poop butt. Bundy's his mama's boy. Bundy's out there trying to prove something to his own manhood. That's got nothing to do with me. I don't roll around with poop people like that. I stand with people that can stand with themselves.
Listening to Synchronon. Sick and Ron. Yes, you listen to Sick and Wrong.
The Sick and Wrong, the world source for antisocial commentary.
God, what a bunch of scumbags.
Good evening. Welcome to Sick and Wrong, the world source for antisocial commentary. I'm your host, D. Simon.
And I'm Harrison.
Harrison, you look all like exasperated or something today. Did you just go roller skating?
Yeah, I went roller skating. It was a couples only skate to fucking Montel Jordan.
Couple skates,
yeah, and then I went to go play hard drive-in in the arcade before hanging myself.
You look like the type that'd be into roller skating,
right?
I'm surprised they haven't brought that back in LA. You think they would?
You think, yeah, that, I'm sure they will. Because the whole 90s resurgence thing.
Well,
yeah.
Also, like, you know how there's all these hip bars, like, what's the one? Good Times at Davy Wayne's. It's like a 70s bar.
Yeah.
And then down here, there's like a 80s themed bar. I'm surprised they haven't tried to, like, some fucking hipster douche, like, hasn't come up with the idea, like, this would be a novel concept. Let's open up one of those old roller rinks and then, like, serve booze and then have, like, all these idiots get really drunk and then try to roller skate.
The United Skates of America. That was one I used to go to when I was, like, 11. The United Skates of America.
Ours was, it was in Michigan. It was called Metro Skate West. Okay. There was a Metro Skate West and there was an East, but the East shut down, so then it was just the West. And it used to be like a, you know how like you'd hang out at the mall?
Yeah.
Because there's nothing else to do.
Right.
But the thing is with the mall though, there were kids from other high schools. So kids from other high schools would also go to the skate. There wasn't a skate park. It was a skate roller rink.
Right.
And so fights would occur there. Lots of fighting. Territorial disputes at the roller rink.
Right.
I was never good.
No.
I'm not a very coordinated person.
I could do it at one point, but I couldn't do any fancy shit. You're tall and gangly. But I couldn't do any fancy shit. I could just skate without fucking dying. I could skate around in a circle.
So you didn't go in the middle of the rink and do all the tricks.
Yeah, I totally did that. The fucking backwards, you know, spinning, whatever.
Yeah, or shoot the
like
duck.
The people who would like skate backwards, I'm like, what are you, a fucking wizard? How do you even do that? What the fuck is going on? You know? Fucking bullshit.
I always just thought it was funny how you'd always see that one guy who's like, I don't know, too old to be there. He's like 30. He's wearing like fucking tight, like fucking nut hugger jeans. And he's just rocking out in the middle.
Yeah.
Spinning around. He's got a little bit of a mullet, feathered mullet.
Yeah, jean jacket.
Oh, yeah. I remember my senior year of high school. My friend Eric thought it would be very funny to have his 18, I think it was 18 year birthday party at the roller rink, just as if we were little kids.
Yeah.
And so his mom was just like, whatever, rented it out, you know, got a pizza. You know how like you'd get a room. Did you ever have a birthday at a roller rink?
Yeah.
Or go to one? They give you like a one section, like a room, and then you could have your pizza in there and your cake, and then you come out and then everyone skates. And so we're doing it. We're like, I think I was 17. He was like 18, so he's a little older. And it was just all preteens.
Yeah.
Like all 12-year-olds.
Okay.
And so we're like kind of skating around because it was funny. Even then I sucked. And at one point, it's like the DJs, like, I never got to be a roller rink DJ. I bet you I'd have been good at it. But the DJ's like, all right, we're going to slow it down. Time for some couple skating.
Yeah.
And then I'm just kind of standing there and like this one girl comes over and she's like, would you skate with my friend? She thinks you're cute. And I was just looking over and there's like this like 11-year-old girl. I'm like, no. And then everyone's like, you got to do it.
Yeah.
And so maybe she was like 12. And so I like skated with this 12-year-old. I could barely even stand.
I remember when I used to go, there was this kid in our class who was blind. His name was George, and he would skate? Yeah, he would skate. But you need someone to like hold his arm, you know, to skate him around. And I remember one time it fell upon me to do it. I don't remember if we were there as a class or what was going on. I think we were there as a class. And you know, you got like the
Did you hold his hands and like intertwine your fingers?
There's like sunken in eyes kind of thing, you know.
Oh,
I mean?
So wait, yeah. Is he like born that way? Or he was born, an accident?
I don't know.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it was an. It was.
Did
yeah,
he gouged his eyes out.
It was radioactive
meth?
Chemicals that fell off a truck, and then he went blind like Daredevil.
You become a lawyer.
Oh, I know. Yeah, is he? He had like those, you know, eyes that were kind of sunken. And he was always kind of looking up, you know, and
like Stevie Wonder.
Like Stevie Wonder, yeah, he was looking up, you know, towards God, towards the God that forsook him, right? And so I was at one point. I was like skating him around. I had my arm, you know, around his arm or something. I was skating him
just
around.
Just arm in arm.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And there was some two girls or something that were like, what are you guys, gay or something? And I'm like, fuck you, he's blind. Which probably wasn't the right move. But I was, at the time, I was way more concerned with making her feel bad and making her think that I wasn't gay. Now I don't give a shit.
Did the blind kid start crying with his like...
No, but I was like, he just... Instead of
empty sockets.
He had eyes. They weren't empty sockets.
I thought you said they were like sewn shut.
No, they were just sunken in.
Oh, sunken
in. Yeah, they were
okay.
Sewn shut.
I don't know.
Yeah, he transferred to my school from an Alice in Chains video. You asshole.
I didn't know what happened to it. There was like they had to sew it shut so you wouldn't see the empty sockets. Isn't that how it works? Don't those motherfuckers wear sunglasses for a reason?
Yes, they usually do. He didn't, though. And they're just kind of sunken in a little bit. They're not, they had eyes.
Did he laugh when you said that? Or did he like...
No, instead of smiling and looking up, he just had a blank expression while looking up. And I stopped and I'm like, you know what, man, I'm sorry about that. I'm real sorry about that. And I felt real genuinely bad about it.
That's probably the day he decided to become a vigilante superhero.
Yeah, I think so. I felt like a real dick because it was totally just a reaction without thinking. And then after I realized like actually the more human move would have been to just not say anything.
Yeah.
Or just to just tell like, them to go fuck themselves.
Or just be like, you're a fat bitch.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Fuck off.
Yeah. So I was like, oh, it was a real learning moment. And clearly, it stuck with me to this day, and I'm still thinking about it.
You're just like, so, I'm stuck with a fucking blind kid. Fuck you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Kids are
anyway,
dicks.
Enough about blind people and roller skates. We have more important matters to discuss here. Charles Manson, buried today. Well, not buried, cremated today.
Yeah.
His memorial was held on Saturday, March 17th. And then he was cremated on site at a funeral home in Porterville, California. So Charlie actually died last November and at the age of 83. He's actually been on ice since then. So he's been on ice for the past like 4 months almost.
Right.
And the reason being is because there's been a, I guess like a, I don't want to say a custody dispute, but a battle over the control of his remains.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's just been on ice up until this past week when the court decided that his grandson is the rightful heir to Manson's body, Jason Freeman. His father was Charlie Manson Jr., who I think shot himself in the 90s or something.
Right.
And he actually had never, according to this article here, he had never actually met Manson. So he's never even met his grandfather. But he somehow got the remains. And so they had a memorial service in Porterville. About 20 to 25 people attended the service. Other guests included former Manson family member Sandra Good.
Oh.
She's a lifetime devotee.
Wow.
You know that?
Yeah. Amazing.
She attended a private viewing of the body earlier. Also,
she was one of the ones that never actually went to jail, right?
Yeah, I don't think
so. Yeah.
Also, his former fiance, Star.
Oh, she was there too.
Yeah, Afton Burton.
Nice. Very nice.
Who, which is kind of odd that she'd even be there.
Yeah.
Because didn't she want to like, she wanted the body. She wanted to claim the body so she could take it out like for like a roadside attraction.
Sure. Of course.
Um, p- Sources told the site here that that Manson's body was decomposing so badly it needed to be covered by heavy makeup and gloves.
Gloves?
Yeah. I don't know what was happening there.
Wow, okay.
His body had been on ice in the Bakersfield morgue since as Freeman battled with the cult leader's pen pal, guy by the name of Michael Channels.
Bakersfield morgue, you kill him, we chill him.
Yeah, as well as his son, Brunner, I think his name was, or?
Yeah.
Brunner claims to be his biological son.
Right.
He turned out not to end up getting the remains because they proved that he was adopted, which is kind of strange.
Huh.
Yeah. Claim that that's what I read. So following the service, Manson's body was cremated and his ashes were scattered along the creek bed in a nearby forest. Sources here said the wind blew Manson's ashes back on the guests.
Yeah.
They were sitting in the front row, which
classic.
Very Big Lebowski over there. Freeman says that he intended to take proper steps to show respect to his grandfather and for everyone who stands firm in the truth of life.
Okay.
I think this guy sounds like a recovering addict.
Yeah, he does. Yeah.
Sounds like it. The funeral home's owner here, Les Peters, says that there is a very hippie vibe at the service and that songs written and performed by Manson were played as well as his cover versions of Beach Boys and Guns N' Roses songs.
Okay.
So if you think about it, not only did the people in the front row get covered in his ashes, they actually had to listen to covers of his songs and the original music too.
The covers are better.
Yeah, I guess the covers are better. But anyway, I believe the estate has not been settled. I think there's still a court battle over the estate. But the body did go to Jason Freeman. So I reached out to him. He was unwilling to do an interview, which I don't think the interview would have been all that great with that guy. Because I think he would have just been going off spouting like aphorisms about God and all that. But I did manage to get an interview with Michael Channels, who's been a pen pal with Manson for over 30 years and a confidant.
You think he wears those t-shirts that like say things about Jesus and working out?
Who,
Freeman? Bench press across or whatever, you know?
God's gym.
Yeah. God's gym, yeah.
I think so. I saw it. If you look at his Facebook page, there's a lot of stuff about Jesus.
Right.
But I've heard like weird stuff. Like this guy was planning to make like puppets or something or doll, like clown dolls and shove Manson's ashes in it and sell it. I don't know what's going on with it.
That sounds
fun. Anyway, I contacted Michael Channels. Mm. And Michael Channels, who has been friendly with Manson for over 30 years, he's a pen pal to Manson, knows a lot about Manson, said he'd be willing to chat with us on the show and talk about the results of the court ruling, and then also talk about just his relationship with Manson. So,
all right.
Let's play that interview.
Hello?
Michael, it's Dean Harrison here calling you from Sick and Wrong. How's it going?
Good. How are you, man?
I'm doing all right. Hey, thanks for being on the show, man.
No problem.
Gotta say, I'm sorry to hear about the court ruling this past week. How do you feel about it? What are your sentiments?
Not the way I wanted it to turn out, of course, because those weren't the wishes of Charles Manson. He had his wishes, and they weren't it. But on the other side of the coin, I also respect the whole system that we live here in the United States. I respect the police officers that drive by or the firemen that come put out the fire, military people that are out there to protect us, and I also respect the judges who are there to sit in a difficult position and make a difficult decision.
Yeah,
so I
mean...
I respect it, don't agree with it, but whatever. Life is life, you know?
Yeah, life moves on. And it was a difficult decision. I mean, it was an interesting case, too. I mean, three people... You know, claiming the remains of a person
claiming.
Here.
I wasn't claiming. I was turning in Manson's wishes, but those were his, not mine. I didn't even ask him for that. He gave me that. I turned it in. I tried to do the best to get his wishes. Other people out there got in it for whatever reason they got in it for. Some of them are. I don't know, questionable in my opinion, but whatever. Such is life. It wasn't about win or lose to me. It was about Manson's wishes. And in my opinion, California did not grant Manson his last wishes either. But that's no different than the rest of Manson's life. He never got his wishes anyway. And he pretty much got the shaft in the courtroom every time he ever went in it anyhow. They really didn't want to listen to his side of the story ever. And it just ended up that way, in my opinion. That's my opinion. You know, and I'm entitled to that.
So in Manson's will, he left you his will, right?
Yes.
How did he want his remains to be disposed of? What were his wishes?
That's interesting, because his wishes, he actually had some big wishes, you know. He wanted to be remembered just like the rest of us in life want to be remembered, you know. When you die, you hope that somebody will remember you after you're dead, you know. Hmm. Hey, that guy did sick and wrong, man. It's on his grave. But no, he wanted to be remembered just as well, you know. But when you go to a funeral, when you go to a cemetery and start asking them, you know, hey, I've got Charlie. First, they think you're joking with them. And then if you can prove it to them and they do believe you, they want nothing to do with it. They start acting like every Catholic person in the cemetery or every Jewish person in the cemetery is going to want to come and dig their family member up and take them somewhere else because Manson's going to pollute the ground somehow. So I ran into that. So I was talking to him about that, telling him about that. So it was different. At the very first, he's like, he wanted to, you know, hey, give me a general's outfit from World War II with all the medals on it, and I want to be buried in a coffin, and I want to be down in Hollywood Cemetery with a big old, you know.
Mm.
Just like anybody else. Everybody wants to go out big, I guess. Everybody wants to be. That's why there's some of those big shrines down there already for people, you know? So no different than anybody else. He was interested in whatever we could do, whatever, you know, it was feasible and money and things like that. But then it boiled down to, you can't do nothing like that.
Did he want a big funeral, like a big service, and invite all his friends and family and that kind of thing?
Not necessarily, no. He was more interested in his family was people. If you ever look at the story about Manson, the only family that Manson ever had was people that he was never related to.
That's
his whole family. People that accepted him for who he was because his family really never did. You know, he was kind of an outcast to everything society had. So outcasts were basically sort of Manson's family. And, not really. Some of those people, you know, some of those people like Sondra Good or Lynette Frome, he wouldn't have minded that. And I had even contacted those people to tell them, you know, hey, if it happens this way, you know, you will definitely. And I would have also invited people like Michael Brunner, the actual son of Charlie, you know, the kid that was born on Topanga Canyon, who Charlie bit the umbilical cord off of him and his mother, you know, and it just doesn't seem right that kid isn't allowed to go there now.
Yeah, that, to me, that seems like an injustice. I mean, he's one of Manson's biological sons. So why was he disqualified, or his claim disqualified?
Basically, it's really, honestly, they don't really give you a straight answer either. They give you about five different ways of believing something, I guess. You know, when you walk out of that place, it's almost like they spoke Japanese to you. Because I'm not a lawyer, I don't know what they said, but it kind of boiled down to me that they were having an issue with, first, the issue was a middle initial and a birth certificate wasn't the same thing as it was on.
Oh, wow.
Then it came down to, and this really bothers me. It came down to this, that Michael was adopted. But here's why Michael was adopted. Because his father, Charles Manson, was now on trial for murder and going to get the death penalty. His mother, Mary Brunner, was trying to get her son's dad out, so she went and robbed that gun store. She got caught, and she was now going to prison. So basically, the only way Michael Brunner would ever get the remains of his own father is if his grandparents would have said, nope, we're not taking the kid, let the foster system have him. He would have went through the foster care system, and who knows what would have happened to him there. That's the only way he would have been eligible to get his own dad. And that's pathetic. That's an injustice to me. And I don't care what California law says or what the system says or what the rule book says or nothing. It's just a bad thing. It's a stain on the white shirt of father and son. It bothers me.
Yeah, it's definitely a travesty. I mean, I was hearing about that. I was like, I figured he was going to win because I thought he had the most logical claim because he was like his biological son. So what's the deal with the grandson then? Like, has this guy ever, did the grandson, Freeman, ever even meet Manson?
No, and Manson refused to see him. And then Freeman, let's refer to him as the grandson. I don't even know if he is the grandson, to tell you the truth, because Charlie Manson did have a child, but that child seemed to be adopted after the fact that his mother split with him. So if that child was adopted and then that guy had a child who was claiming to be the grandson, wouldn't that disqualify him too?
Well, you're talking about Charles Manson Jr., right?
Right.
Who committed suicide in the 90s. So grandson is saying that Charles Manson Jr. is his father.
So what? Charles Manson Jr. was adopted out to a guy by the name of White. And Charles Manson Jr. later became Jay White because he was now somebody else's property if it comes to adoption, and that's what adoption is. So doesn't that disqualify the grandson as well?
Yeah, it sounds because like the grandson would be disqualified. Huh.
Yeah.
That's interesting. So what is he planning to do with Charlie's remains?
I don't know, and I don't really care. But I've heard through the grapevine that Charlie's in a coffin right now. He's all dolled up, and he's getting pictures taken of him, and he's getting in a new documentary and all kinds of good things. He could be in necklaces around your neck coming soon. Exactly what the will stated that he didn't want, basically, and now it's going to happen to him.
Okay, so he's trying to cash in on a business opportunity here, it sounds like.
I hear through the grapevine, it's happening right now.
I read something about clown dolls, like he was going to put his ashes in a clown doll and sell these clown dolls. Do you know anything about that?
Yeah, of course the media come running to me about that too, directing me right to it, made me looked at it, and it made me sick. You know, it would make me sick for anybody to do that sort of thing. It's not a clown doll. It's one of them little freaking puppets that you, ventriloquist dolls. One of the most evil goddamn things that you can get.
Those are evil.
And you got it dressed up like Charlie with a swastika in the middle of his forehead. Jason Freeman's got his son in the back seat making it talk. Then Jason directs the camera to his own face, saying, "Oh, we're going to put ashes in this, yeah." And then later on, he wants to blame me and say, "The joke's on me. I was only kidding." All through the media, though, you know? It's just sickening. This is perfect. It's sick and wrong, man. It's sick and fucking wrong.
Also, he stole that that idea from a documentary I saw in the 80s called Child's Play.
Yeah,
true story.
Yeah, no, it sounds like it. Like, he's trying to make Chucky here.
They've done that too many times already. What is it, like Chucky 19 already? Yeah. Come on, man, it's not even original.
So what about Manson's estate? Have they actually ruled on that yet?
Nope, that hasn't even been dealt with yet, and I can't really talk about that.
Okay.
That's something you'd have to call and talk to my attorney about, but no, that hasn't been dealt with yet. So it's not the end of this whole circus, I guess you want to call it.
Well, do you know, like, can you talk about what comprises Manson's estate? Like, I was wondering, does he have any wealth? Is it, like, the licensing to his music catalog?
Honestly, you know what? I don't know. I don't really care. I wasn't in it for that. That wasn't what it was about. It was to make sure that Manson ended up somewhere, not around necklaces, not in documentaries, not posing for pictures after he was dead, not people cutting his tattoos off and putting them in little frames and shit, or holding his hand or something, and just making something out of themselves with him, which was what they did throughout his whole life while he was alive. That's why nobody could get to him, because he didn't trust nobody. Why didn't he trust anybody? Because obviously he can't even trust somebody that's claiming to be doing the right thing. You know, we'll see. It'll all come out in the wash. We'll find out if actually what I'm saying right now come true, because right now you don't know. But if there is documentaries, you know that they will be out, and we will all soon know on what the right thing to do was.
Well, that's what I was always wondering about with Manson. So you'd see his face on like a shirt at Hot Topic. And so someone was capitalizing on his image, his name, his likeness. Where was that money going to? Who was, you know, I mean, was he getting that money, or was his family, or was it to the companies?
He was never getting that money. That's the thing. He didn't want anybody to capitalize on that shit either. He was never getting the money. I told him several times, you could sue these people, Charlie. He's like, fuck it. That's how I got so big in the first place. It's like the Beatles when they first came out and their licensing, they didn't really, you know, they licensed shit to everybody. And it was really cheap to do it. That's why there's so much Beatle product out there. Well, that's why there's so much Manson product out there. He basically gave everybody a free will and a free license to do whatever the fuck they wanted, no matter if it was good, bad, or indifferent. He didn't care. Look how huge it made him around the world. Now, somebody wants to take advantage of what he never did. That's another injustice, you know, because that's something else he didn't want to happen. I don't care what it's worth, man. I don't give a shit. I work. Who cares? I've made my life. I'm 50-some years old now. Look at cash in on Charles Manson. What are you going to do on Charles Manson anyway? You're going to undo you're going to put the toothpaste back in the tube? Who doesn't have every single album that they want to have already of his? Who doesn't have Image on the shirt? And if you do go listening, who's not going to continue to make it underground? No.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, you're not going to stop it.
Whatever happened to Star, Manson's former fiance? She had a pretty nefarious plan too, where she was going to like take his corpse around, like different. What was the deal with her?
I have no idea. There you go. It's, you know, I don't want to talk personally about her because I really personally don't know her except through the mail and on the telephone. But I can talk personally to some of the people that came into Manson's life who were just like her. The people that came into Manson's life all had issues. They didn't come with a good job and a good wife and a great dog and three kids and a picket fence and two cars. These fuckers came with depression. They came with anxiety. They came with hearing voices. Those are the kind of people that came to Manson. Those were his so-called friends or followers or
family.
People were just trying to cash in on him, actually. He really wanted nothing to do with some of these people sometimes. But honestly, Manson was a pretty compassionate dude. So he could see problems in sometimes, and he would try to help people out with their problems sometimes. And if Manson wouldn't have been in prison, and probably the reason Manson was in prison is because he's a very good motivational person. Like, he's a really good motivational speaker. He would have been, and he actually was. Again, that's what got him in prison.
Yeah.
If he would have been in prison, he would have been a great one out of prison, because he could talk you into doing anything. Basically, not talk you into it, but this. If you go to him and was like, Charlie, man, I really want to kill somebody, I think he would talk you into how you would be the greatest serial killer there was.
Very charismatic individual, that guy.
Very, very much so. So these people come at him with whatever they're coming at him with, and immediately they'll stamp it right on their forehead so the whole public can see it. Her name is Star. What does that tell you? She came at him wanting to be a star.
Probably a stripper. That's what I was thinking.
A couple days later? Yeah, that's a good stripper name, but I doubt if she was a stripper unless she was a stripper at all in this country. But then, you know, before you know it, 5 minutes after she knows him, she's coming out with an album for it. You know, everybody wanted to come in and cash in on the guy, always. And he always seen right through that. And he just as much as they were using him, he was using them right back. So he was having them send them boxes or having them bring cell phones into jail. You know?
Yeah,
it
kind of seemed like a reciprocal relationship. I could kind of tell that. Were they actually engaged? Because she was saying he was her or they were engaged and that she was his fiance, but were they?
Again, I don't know that personally. But as far as Manson goes, I can tell you what I know about Charlie. I'll tell you what you want to hear. If you want to hear that, sure, they were engaged. Why not? Hell yeah. It'll get us both in the newspaper. You know, if you want in the newspaper, Miss Star, go ahead. We're engaged. Sure. Did Manson ever sign the papers? And did they ever walk down the aisle? No. So take it from that. Is she there right now with his body because she's a grieving widow? No. You know, what is she doing now? She's running around at Guns N' Roses concerts, I heard, getting backstage passes because she was a star. You know, that's what people are in this for.
Yeah.
Most of them. When is the first time you ever heard of me? I've known Manson for 30 years. You haven't heard of me ever.
Well, yeah, you're not capitalizing on it. So what inspired you to become friends with him in the first place? How did you become friends with him?
Probably, if I really want to be honest with it, money. Because I collected autographs, and I seen one day that his autograph was worth like $100. And I thought, shit, that got to be easy. So, and then it progressed from there. Then it became friendship, where it wasn't about money, and I never really did cash in on him anyway. Because when you do get something like that, it's a collectible, you're like, wow, I'm not getting rid of it now. So you really never cash in on it, you know? So it probably an autograph, just wanting an autograph from you. And then also wanting to meet, I wanted to meet the damn boogeyman. Doesn't everybody? Yeah.
Well, so did you, I mean, how did you visit him in prison?
Oh, sure. Lots of times. I've been in hand-to-hand contact with him at the same table for several hundred hours.
Huh. What did you guys talk about?
All kinds of shit. Everything under the sun. Everything you can imagine.
And so would you describe him? Like, because you always see in these videos of the parole hearings, he just kind of seems like a madman, ranting, talking, you know, speaking in tongues and nonsense. When you actually sit down and have a conversation with him, I mean, is he personable? Like, can you have like an intelligent, rational conversation?
It's funny. He should have won an Academy Award because all that stuff you see on TV, he's putting on an act. He knows what they're coming for. He knows what they want to see. He knows they want to see the boogeyman, so he comes out and plays the boogeyman. And in person, he can do that for you if you want. He had kind of, he would go through different emotions, I would say, that way. Like maybe sometimes they had him on medication and things, so he did change from time to time on what his mood was. But as far as that guy that you see on TV, he had that charisma, but the boogeyman part of it, no. The evil cult leader, nah, I didn't really see that in him. I'm into that kind of crap, just as well as you guys are for having a damn thing called Sick and Wrong. But, you know, I'm into this sort of the macabre and horror movies and all that kind of stuff. And anytime I would ever talk about that sort of stuff, you just want to shake it off. It wasn't really about death, you know? He was about really life. He was about love. He was a really, believe it or not, I mean, people like, yeah, I'm sure people that'll listen to your podcast will say, this guy's so full of shit. But he was actually a pretty loving dude, you know? He was a caring dude, too. He did a lot of things for people that you wouldn't expect Manson to do.
Did he ever ask about, like, Lynette Squeaky Fromm or Leslie Van Houten?
Oh,
sure. Did he ever ask about them?
Oh, sure.
Did he ever try to contact them?
Oh, I actually knew them both anyway, so I just told them whatever they wanted to tell each other. You know, it's not that hard in this world. I know Lynette Fromm as well. I knew her for years as well. And she would, of course, she would say things and try, you know, and she still liked Charlie. And Charlie still liked her. Of course, they were friends. Actually, Charlie wished he probably would have married her and went away from that family and never got in that mess anyway that other people got him involved in and been normal like me. He told me that once. So, yeah, he talks to all kinds. You know, you can't keep people from talking to people that they're a friend. Don't happen.
No, that's true. So I read that you keep a secret shrine dedicated to Manson, and only a few people are allowed to see it. What does the shrine consist of?
First off, let me ask you, where did you read that at? I already know you don't have to tell me. You don't have to blast their name. But I guess that's the kind of wording that people use to get you noticed in the newspaper, which is, I thank them for the publicity and the shrine part of it. Here, I can explain that to you because everything makes sense when you explain it to somebody. I've been, and I'm not bragging now because now this is part of the explanation. Okay. First off, I was the guy from the Museum of Death down in Hollywood.
Oh, yeah, I know that guy. He's been on the show, you know, too. Yeah, he's been on the show. He's a cool guy.
He's a cool-ass dude. He's a friend of mine. He's a good friend of mine. And so is his wife.
Hell of a collection that guy has.
He's a good dude. He's good. He's got a great heart. But anyway, besides that, J.D., he contacted me and said, hey, man, I'm going to do this pilot for a documentary. Do you want to be in it? Sure. Why not? Hell, let's do it. And he's like, I need locations. Okay, let's do Spawn Ranch or something. Or basically, how about I'll make a location for you? I'll do it in my garage. I got enough stuff, and I'm pretty good with an imagination. I'll come up with a background and everything, and it can be the shop that you come to buy the stuff in the documentary. He's like, okay, cool. That's a cool idea. So they came up and they did a pre-pilot, actually, I don't know what they got, a pre-production, and they loved it. So they paid me for the set, and plus they paid me for an appearance. So I realized right then, wow, I can double dip on this. I can make an appearance, get paid for the appearance of the interview, and I can also get paid for the set. So the next time the documentary came around, which was the haunt, you can also see me on the Haunted History, called The Manson Murders, and then you can also see me on the History Channel called The Voice of Madness, which was just put out on the, December the 3rd.
I haven't seen that one yet.
Also, you can see my set in there that they paid me for as well. Double dip there, too. And then again, you can see me on the Reels channel, and where Zombie is narrating the show, and he even mentions my name in there, and you can also see my shrine in there, too, because it's the set there, too, that I also double dipped on as well. So basically what I did is I created a set in my garage where documentary production companies could come, pay me for it, and film there. That's it. That's what the shrine is. And I just had enough Manson stuff to do it with, you know?
Okay, so, all right. I can see how the media is twisting, like, this twisted guy has a shrine to the cult leader. But really what you're doing is you have a collection. You're displaying the collection for documentaries. I can see that.
I have a question for you. Based around, like, you know, your conversations with him and things that he said, out of all the literature that's been written about Charles Manson and you know, the Manson murders and the family, which book would you say is the most accurate?
Honestly, if you really want to get to the most accurate piece of media out there, mm-hmm. is the one documentary that just recently came out that I happen to be in, and it's not because I'm in it that it's the best. It's because the producer was trying to get to the bottom of this whole mystery of Charlie, and it is the one that was narrated by Rob Zombie. It really tries to get to the bottom of, you know, what went on there. Was there was a drug, and they even have people in it. Charlie was in it. And so was Bobby Beausoleil, and so was Barbara Hoyt, and so were several other people in the Manson family that all tried to explain it in that documentary. And it's really worth a watch, you know. For the life of me, I can't tell you the name. That's sad, but I can't tell you the name of it right now because they changed the name so many times before it gets to the final product. You know, it's called His Last Words, though. And it's by Buddy Day. He's the producer of it. That's probably the best place. And then also, George Stimson was a friend of Charlie's for a long time, and he wrote a book, and it's called Goodbye Helter Skelter. And it's pretty fair on Charlie's side of the story. Excuse me. And I would recommend reading everything there is out there about Charlie, even Helter Skelter.
Yeah.
I'd recommend reading Helter Skelter first, though, because then you can find out all the things about Helter Skelter that just don't add up as you start reading all the other stuff. Because in every book out there, everything has one little tiny small piece that wasn't there in another book, you know? Even if it's just like one sentence or one paragraph or one thing you didn't know, it just all adds up. And it adds up into a story that makes no sense whatsoever.
In some of the books, like the Ed Sanders book, for instance, it mentions that they filmed a lot of stuff at the ranch. Like a lot of, you know, they filmed some orgies, but they filmed kind of like some of the playing they did and the rituals they did. And Whatever happened to any of that film footage? Does it still exist?
First off, I can, from Manson, from what Manson told me, it never did exist.
Oh.
And secondly, I can tell you that I know about everybody that has to do anything with this man after 30 years and, you know, and collecting and really want to know the story. You get to know everybody. And I know a guy who was a source for Sanders back in that day. And I got that guy to admit to all kinds of lies that he was telling for a chapter in that part of that book.
Mm.
And some of those things that you were just mentioning, that guy continues to the day to try to profit off of any kind of thing that glamorizes that situation to make it more profitable, just like a lot of people do. So not everything that you read in all those books is actually the gospel truth. Just put it that way. I mean, I'm not discrediting Sanders because that's a good book.
Right.
And I really recommend reading that because it is a good book. And he gets down to a lot of the detail, the nitty gritty. But then there's a lot of things in that book, too, just as well. And I'm not discrediting the Helter Skelter or none of those, because there's a lot of Helter Skelter is basically the court record and Vince Bugliosi's opinion on why these people should be convicted on the motive. So that's why people are like, oh, that looks bullshit. But actually, it's not, because it's Vince Bugliosi's opinion on what the motive was and how they were convicted in the court. So it's all the record. So read that for that. Sanders tries to get into a little more into the people. You know, he travels around, tries to visit with people during that time. And he was also a hippie himself, so he blend right in with them. And they probably told him things, and he found out things. And there's a lot of things in there that I found out are truth. Then there's a lot of things in there, like I said, that, you know, take them with a grain of salt, because some of it kind of really, you know, just glamorizes the situation more than it should have been.
That's interesting. All right. Well, Michael, we've taken up a lot of your time here. Thanks for being on the show, man. And, you know, best of luck with the ruling on the estate. Do you know when that's going to happen?
I think the hearing in Los Angeles Superior Court on March the 23rd, I believe.
Oh, wow. Sure. So soon. Yeah, it's going to happen soon.
Well, actually, it's been in court. The first hearing was January the 8th. So it's been in there for a long time now. So it's just been going through the whole process. The reason it went to Bakersfield is because it wasn't about the estate anymore. Basically, what this guy just did is it was a health and resources issue. It was about a rotting corpse is what it was, and how to get rid of it the fastest. And that's what they just did.
Well, did they just have him on ice at a morgue?
That's what they did. And I can't imagine on how somebody would want to defrost somebody and doll them all up to pose with pictures.
Yeah, it's twisted.
I've seen my Thanksgiving turkey after.
All right, man, do you have a website or anything that we could plug for you?
I used to, but I took it all down because of this whole mess, you know, because people start making things up like, yeah, you got a shrine in your basement, and my neighbors all go nuts about that. So, you know, I used to have a YouTube page that had 6,000 subscribers and 16 million views.
Wow.
That me and Manson used to do together, actually, where he would call me and I would put his conversations on there. But I've taken that down, too, because all people want to do is now steal that stuff from you, you know, when all we were trying to do is just do a little show like you are, a little podcast.
Put
like
it out
know.
There, man.
Huh. Yeah, it was called the Back Porch Tapes. And it got to be pretty darn big, actually, with, I thought, anyway, 6,000, 16 million. That's pretty good, don't you say?
Well, man, yeah, I would love to check it out if you ever put it back up.
Yeah, I don't know if I ever will, man. It was like, again, something we did together, and I just don't feel right. Time goes on, you know. It's like it's one of the things of the past. It's just kind of makes me sick. I need to think about it.
That's true. Well, anyway, thanks for being on the show. It was interesting talking to you. And best of luck with the estate ruling. Hopefully that works out a little bit better.
Yeah, again, such is life, like Ned Kelly said before they killed him. And whatever happens, happens, you know. I have no control. I'm at peace. I respect the system. Never agree with the system. Fuck the system. I never agree with it, but I respect it. And we'll go, you know, we'll go from there. I'll be good. I'll still be able to sleep at night. I'll still be able to wake up. Just tried to do the best thing I possibly could for a guy I became friends with. And I would hope to God, in my own mind, I'd love to think that I would do the same thing for any other friend of mine that I had. And I would also love to think if I had a friend, they would do that for me.
Yeah. Well, you did him right, man. All right. Well, thanks for being Michael. On the show. Take it easy.
Thanks, man.
So it'll be interesting to see what happens with the estate. I don't know. They haven't decided the outcome of that yet, and it doesn't sound like Michael can really talk about it. But interesting guy. You know, I was thinking about this. I'm surprised Jason Freeman isn't going to plastinate Manson's corpse.
The fuck does that mean?
Haven't you seen that? Like that Our Bodies exhibit?
Oh, yeah.
That German guy that plastinates the corpses?
That's what he should have done. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, don't you think so?
Absolutely.
I mean, if I would do that.
It may be too decomposed for that. I don't know.
But they could probably build, you could put like wax in there, and then you could have, because then you could actually like have them in your house.
Yeah.
I mean, that would be the ultimate Halloween decoration.
It would be great.
But, interesting guy, though. Interesting guy. We'll have to see what happens when the estate when the case about the estate is finally settled. So maybe we'll have Michael back on the show.
All right.
Anyway, people, this is episode 627 here at Sick and Wrong. We have news stories coming up next. After that, we have some phone calls. But first, here's a word about our Patreon page.
Do you need more Sick and Wrong in your life? Do you need one more news story to make you feel normal? Are three phone calls barely enough to feed the raging beast of desire? Well, then it's time for you to get the help you need and become a Sick and Wrong patron. Sign up at patreon.com/sickandwrong and you'll have access to exclusive Patreon-only content such as news stories, extra phone calls, and much, much more. Become a patron today and help us make a better Sick and Wrong for tomorrow. That's patreon.com/sickandwrong.
So the first story we have here, I gotta say, I was reading this and I was like, I couldn't believe that this is considered a crime. Because if it's considered a crime, then I'm like a serial killer. A man who taught pet pug to give Nazi salutes and posted footage on YouTube is found guilty of a hate crime. Dude, the guy trained his dog to give to Sieg Heil.
Yeah.
How is that a hate crime?
They're serious about that shit in Europe. They don't fuck around, you know?
Good God, dude. Have you ever seen, who's that guy? The cat whisperer guy. You know that dude?
Oh, he teaches cats to Mein Kampf or something? What does that have to do with this?
No, I'm just saying, the guy, Jackson Galaxy, he comes over, he's got his guitar case full of cat toys. He can't teach a fucking cat or a dog to Sieg Heil. This guy, amateur, gets his girlfriend's dog, teaches it to Sieg Heil.
Yeah.
He should get a reality show, this guy.
He should. I mean, that's one thing about America. There's a lot of dumb shit about America, but one good thing is that even if you're a fucking, you could say whatever the fuck you want, you know?
Yeah, whatever. No, I mean, it's freedom of speech.
Yeah,
just don't get this. This happened in Scotland. But I can understand it being a hate crime in Germany. The Germans feel pretty bad about what happened, as well they should. You know, they did some pretty atrocious things back then. Scotland, come on. It's pretty far away from Germany. Scotland loves their Jews.
Yeah. Well, you know? Let's not go nuts.
Well, more or less. I don't think they felt the same way about Jews as they did in Germany.
Yeah, they only issue minor beatings to their Jews.
Minor beatings to the Jews. So, that's it.
Yeah.
But apparently, you train a pet pug to give a Nazi salute. That's a hate crime.
Okay.
Mark Meachin of Coatbridge, Lanarkshire, I guess, will be sentenced in April after a Scottish court found him guilty of communicating a grossly offensive video. How many times have I been guilty of communicating a grossly offensive video?
Yeah, a lot of times.
I mean, I send you one almost every day.
It's true.
The 30-year-old taught his girlfriend's pug to react to the words, "gas the Jews," which he repeated 23 times in the short video that he uploaded to his YouTube channel last year. The pug was also seen raising its paw to the phrase Sieg Heil during the footage titled, "Mate, your dog's a Nazi."
Hmm.
It's hard to say that without smiling.
Right, sure.
That is hilarious. Yeah. I mean, this guy, probably the funniest Scottish comedian I've ever heard of.
Yeah.
The video was watched more than 3 million times on YouTube. Meacham was then arrested after sharing the footage in April 2016.
And he's not a Nazi.
He's not a Nazi.
He's a weird guy. He's a funny guy.
He's right? just a guy who likes offensive humor.
Right.
He's pretty much our demographic.
He is our core demo,
this guy.
Yeah, yeah.
I would be surprised if he's a fan.
Mm.
Meacham told the sheriff court that he made the video to annoy his girlfriend, Suzanne Kelly, 29, and denied any wrongdoing. You know, doesn't even say she's Jewish. He's just doing it just to annoy her. Mm. That's a hell of a prank. Epic prank. Kind of reminds me of, I remember when my brother lived with this 10, 12 years ago. He lived with a guy in the Castro.
Mm-hmm.
He moved into his apartment, found him on Craigslist. And the guy had like two pet parrots. Mm. I know I've talked about it on the show. The parrot guy was weird. He had a big like tattoo on his like chest of a parrot.
Mm.
I mean, he's a weird dude.
Yeah.
Did a lot of meth. But anyway, these parrots would walk around. There's one that was like an African gray parrot and one that was like a colorful one. I forget what those are called. Like a macaw, I think.
What am I, fucking Dr. Doolittle? I don't know.
You just seem like a guy that would know a lot about parrots.
Yeah.
But anyway, the African gray parrot, when you said something, it would mimic your voice exactly how your voice sounds. Ooh. The other one would mimic your voice, but in a bird voice.
Okay.
So anyway, I remember we were in there. Yeah. I would just, when I went over and his roommate wasn't around and I was hanging out with my brother, I would just sit by the bird because you have to repeat the line over and over again for it to learn it.
Yeah.
And I would just be like, faggot, faggot, faggot to see if the bird would learn how to say the word faggot. And my brother would get so mad.
Yeah.
But how funny would that be if the bird's just like, faggot?
It'd be kind of funny.
Apparently, you're not supposed to teach them to swear because those birds live to be like 100.
Oh, yeah.
So, and so if they get, if when you die and they get sent to a bird sanctuary, they don't want a swearing bird in the sanctuary because it'll teach all the other birds to swear.
Ah,
and then you'll have like 100 birds being like, faggot. Anyway, that's funny. In Scotland, that's a hate crime.
Okay.
Meacham said that he had lost 8 jobs since posting the video.
Hmm.
Which is kind of odd because I don't know how they would find his secret identity when he uses the moniker he uses for his YouTube channel is Count Dankula. I don't know how they figured it out.
Yeah.
But apparently in Scotland, they're very tech savvy. Mm. He said he never actually shared the video. It was shared by someone on the social media platform Reddit. So he had posted it to his video page. I was hoping that only like a few of his friends would see it. Mm. But he had extraordinarily bad luck, and someone posted it to Reddit, and the video just blew up and became viral.
Mm.
That's never happened to us, by the way. We posted a ton of shitty videos.
Yeah.
But then again, we've never trained a dog to Sieg Heil. So,
that's true. We have. That would require some real stick-to-itiveness that we don't have.
Real tenacity.
Yeah, yeah.
Claiming the video is for the purposes of comedy, he previously said that he had received support for the joke from the famous Jewish comedian David Baddiel.
Mm.
I don't know him, but you've received support for the joke from two non-famous American comedians, two very, very unknown comedians, very Z-list comedians, Harrison and D. Simon over here, both Jewish, and we do a podcast, and we completely support you because this is hilarious.
Mm.
I would, you know, if I was supposed to represent this guy in court, I'd be like, I find you hilarious enough to discuss this whole article on the show.
Sure.
I don't find it offensive.
I think you should have a GoFundMe, you know?
I would plug that GoFundMe.
Yeah.
I definitely would.
Yeah.
The sheriff here, Derek O'Carroll, who does not have a sense of humor, very unfunny man. Mm. He said the video was threatening and grossly offensive. He found Meacham guilty of sending, by means of a public electronic communications network, a message or other matter that is grossly offensive or of an indecent, obscene, or menacing character.
If certain humor is banned, then the Nazis win.
That's true.
You know?
You know, judging by this this guilty sentence here, I don't think Sheriff Derek O'Carroll has ever actually seen this Sick and Wrong Facebook group.
Yeah.
Because if you go to that private group and see the filth that's posted there, God.
Yeah.
Jesus. He said Meacham knew the video was offensive, as he said himself during his evidence that he likes offensive comedy. Hmm. Yeah. I mean, it's funny.
Right.
It's a pug, dude. It's not like he trained a child to Zieg Heil.
Yeah, it's cute.
Even though that would also be pretty funny.
That
a baby
would be
doing
funny
it,
too, yeah.
You know? But a pug, it's cute. That's cute. Mm. The sheriff said that he chose the line, gas the Jews, as it was the most offensive phrase associated with the Nazis that he could think of.
Okay. Yeah, I don't think the Nazis ever said that.
Gas the Jews.
You know, like, I don't think it's something they went around saying. You know what I mean?
There must have been like a like German phrase for it.
No, it was not something they talked about. It was something that they like went, you know, that they all danced around. All the paperwork like was like, well, the final, you know, had like fancy business names for it. You know, it was something they really danced around.
I actually thought you meant like literally dancing around, like, it's time to gas the Jews, and doing a little like jig.
Now we do the dance fair, we gas the Jews.
He's just like, you can see like Mengele's just like, Hitler, guess what time it is? It's time to gas the Jews.
It's time to dance around the crematorium.
And then march all the Jewish children into the shower. Yep, what other phrases can you think of? Like Heil Hitler? Mm.
Remember where you hung your clothes.
Like, I don't know what other phrase he expects, you know, a pug to learn. I mean, you can't teach him the eternal Jew or Jew is the world parasite. I mean, that doesn't work.
No.
Gas the Jews is so much more concise. Yeah. It's easier for a pug to understand.
I wonder if he had just gone with Sieg Heil or Heil Hitler, I wonder if it had been the same outcome, you know?
Instead of saying gas the Jews 23 times.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I think Heil Hitler still would have been offensive.
Because I think it would have been funnier if it were Heil Hitler.
Yeah.
Well, I think that's funnier. Because, again, gas the Jews isn't something they said.
Well,
you know?
Later in the video, the pug was also seen raising its paw to the phrase Sieg Heil.
Okay.
So well, that's still pretty
that's
funny.
That's great. Yeah.
That's still pretty funny.
Yeah. Plus, if the Nazis did say gas the Jews, I don't think you would have to Heil it, you know?
You know what might have been funnier? Mm. It might have been just pure like comedy or parody. Mm. Is if he would have dressed the dog in a little Nazi uniform.
Right.
Then do you think the Scottish court would have been like, all right, that's funny? Or do you still think they would have been offended by it?
They still would have been upset.
What the fuck? Those guys drink so much. Don't they have a sense of humor?
I don't get it.
I don't get it.
Yeah.
God, the men wear skirts over there. Mm. That's funny.
He must have been one of those, like, you know,
stick
mean,
up his ass.
Sober Scotsman, you know?
Sober Scotsman.
Yeah, yeah. Because there's like, you know, there's like the drunk, fun Irish, and then there's like the creepy church Irish.
Yeah, like the staunch Catholic Irish that are, the court did not believe Meacham's defense that the video was made as a private joke to annoy his girlfriend. And he pointed out that he had not taken any steps to prevent the video from being shared publicly. Because I guess he didn't take it down. Mm. How would that joke not annoy the girlfriend?
Right.
I mean, she's got to be very annoyed now because now the world thinks she's like, you know, dating a Nazi.
Yeah.
Ephraim Borowski, 66 years old, director of the Scottish Council of Jewish Communities, he told the sheriff's court that the Holocaust should not be joked about, and doing so normalized anti-Semitism. Hmm. Apparently, I think that's what we're doing right now. So, on that note, what do you have here for
what
the second
bummer.
Story? No, you know, I am kind of bummed about this because this was funny.
Yeah.
And if there's a GoFundMe for this guy, you know, if there's a GoFundMe for this guy, I probably wouldn't donate to it, but I would definitely plug it.
Oh, Göring, do you know what time it is?
Time to guess the Jews?
Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da.
I can see they're just playing techno. Like,
yeah, yeah. Tunts, 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 tunts.
Sprockets. Mm. Anyway, what do you have here for the second story?
Wir tanzen. Okay, so...
My Schwanzenstuck.
John sent this in. said, please reach out to India correspondent Dr. Sanjay Gupta for explanation of this odd form of workplace hazing.
Is Sanjay Gupta the only Indian person that listens to this show?
I think so.
And he's probably not even
Indian. Yeah, yeah. But whatever, it's close enough.
It's a multicultural program we have.
Look, if you're an Indian, you listen to the show, give us a call. Let us know, you know. Represent yourself other than Gupta, you know, for God's sakes.
But I bet you Gupta could probably explain this story to us or this behavior.
John also says, reminds me of the trucker that fell onto the air compressor nozzle a while back. So the headline is, prank with air jet goes wrong, man loses life.
Ooh.
Yeah. Man loses life. It's a weird, okay, yeah. Like, how does a prank with an air jet go right? You know?
It doesn't sound like that prank. That sounds like a worse prank than teaching your dog to Z-Heil.
It does.
Yeah.
It's happened in New Delhi.
New Delhi.
A 40-year-old worker at a plywood factory was killed when a prank went horribly wrong on Thursday. A colleague had playfully inserted a pipe from an air compressor into...
Wait, okay. He playfully inserted a pipe
from an air compressor into Ravinder's anus.
It's not funny. It's that probably hurt.
It's not funny, yeah.
Well, a life was lost. So the fact that it was playfully inserted.
Yeah.
That means it wasn't menacingly inserted.
Yeah, not.
It's not like they were holding him down and right. like forcibly sodomizing him with the air compressor. It was just like, we're going to play a prank.
Yuck, yeah.
Yeah.
Threw a hole in his loosely worn trousers when he bent down to pick up a block of wood at a factory in Nangloy. But police later said that the jet of air damaged the man's internal organs, leading to severe hemorrhage and eventual death.
Jesus. What kind of prank is that?
I feel bad for laughing about it now.
Well, you know what I gotta say, though? I'm actually quite impressed that they're able to first see that there is a hole in his, in the backside of his pants, and then get the air compressor through the hole.
Was he not wearing underwear also?
Apparently not.
Like, what the fuck?
And how do they know his ass? They could see his asshole? Yeah, wow, it takes really exceptional aim.
That's a lot of, when you're actually in ass play, it's not easy.
Is this guy like a javelin
usually
thrower?
Usually takes a few tries to
find
the
thing. Yeah, I was about to say.
You know?
I mean, God.
So, I don't know. Woof. The unfortunate prankster was arrested on Friday. Which is like one of the worst names for a rapper I've ever heard.
The unfortunate prankster.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, this is like advanced level workplace shenanigans. I don't think they would tolerate this type of behavior in my workplace.
No.
It'd be an HR nightmare.
Yeah, I think
you
so.
You know? Do they have HR in factories in India?
Probably not. They probably have like a goat wearing a hat, and that's like the HR department.
I bet you the unfortunate prankster was probably the head of HR.
A case of causing death due to negligence has been registered against Anjan Misra, the accused. According to the cops, factory workers told them that Ravinder had been facing the mocking of fellow workers for wearing a torn trouser on Thursday. Jesus.
So, okay. That I can kind of understand. I can empathize with that. You know, he probably put on his pants that day and bent over, ripped his pants.
Yeah.
And then was already at work. So he's like, fuck, I'm just going to do the rest of the day. If I had a coworker that had like a hole in his pants and he didn't go home, I probably would laugh about it too.
Yeah.
You know?
That happened to me once. I walked to Kmart to get a pair of jeans I could wear.
Because you just did you soil your pants or just
Wrangler or like Rustler or whatever the cheapest jeans were they had there.
But you had torn your pant like snag it on something or was it just you're just a fat person?
I was fat. You know. Yeah. So the accused was among those having fun at Ravinder's expense.
Wow, so the whole workplace.
And a heavy expense it was indeed.
Yeah, the whole workplace was making fun of this guy.
His life
was
the price. The powerful air compressor was used at the factory to cut through blocks of wood.
Ooh.
See, that's your first clue, as to not do that.
Yeah.
If it can cut through blocks of wood, what do you think it could do to your delicate, soft organs?
Yeah, know? I mean, you're like my colon God, in your man. Intestine. Whoa, just,
come on.
God, like you a know? Bullet.
Yeah.
Right through it. Wow.
Yeah, it's like the fucking, you know, No Country for Old Men thing.
Oh,
you
yeah,
know?
That like whatever yeah, that thing was. Yeah. What do you think was going to happen? Like he was going to fill up with a bunch of air and start floating around and they'd knock him around like a beach ball? Like what? Like honestly,
yeah, I think that must be
what were you thinking about it? What was his name? Apu? Anju?
Anjan.
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 What are you thinking, Anjan?
Yeah. Colleagues claim the Ravinder was mocked by factory workers during the apparent crude prank last Thursday. The 40-year-old collapsed and was rushed to hospital, where he was declared dead the same day, colleagues said.
Oh, my God. Wouldn't you feel bad?
Yeah.
Like, you just, like, yeah. I mean, you know, there's one, you know, there's pranks that are just kind of like you slap a sticky or, you know, a little note on the back of somebody and says, like, I'm an idiot or whatever.
Yeah.
I'm an asshole. And then they walk around all day with that note on their back and no one says anything. Mm. I mean, that's kind of rude. You know, we'd probably get fired for doing that at my work.
Yeah.
And then there's like on the whole other spectrum.
Yeah, and then there's pranks that cause blood to spray out of your anus.
I'm surprised blood didn't just shoot out of his mouth.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
God.
Like Jesus Christ.
Thinking that air comes out so it's so forceful it can cut through a block of wood.
Yeah.
God, what would that do to the human body?
Yeah. The factory workers narrated that around 4 p.m., Mizra, Anjan, Mizra, who was in charge of slicing wooden blocks using the air jet, suddenly shoved the nozzle of the pipe into the torn trousers and pressed it into Ravinder's anus. There was great...
So terrible.
There was great laughter at Ravinder's shocked reaction to the sudden jet of air entering his body.
I would be shocked too.
Yeah, I would be shocked.
I
would be beside myself. Literally. Yeah.
God.
But he soon staggered and fell face down on the ground.
Well, now, yeah. Who's laughing now?
Yeah. We alerted the manager and took Ravinder to the local dispensary and then to the government hospital.
Do they have dispensaries in the
gym? Yeah, I guess. Really? It's like get him some Maui Wowie or something. You know?
Get him some purple Urkel.
Yeah. Where he died
space
during
cake.
Treatment later in the day.
Oh, man.
Said Ram Kishan, one of the factory workers.
Oh.
Yeah. The deputy commissioner of Delhi police said, after the incident, the man kept it to himself and didn't confide in anybody about the horrific experience he went through.
Oh, wait a second. Okay. So after he was bullied by the workplace bullies, he just was like, he went on about his day.
I get, yeah. Just went about his day with the
what
blood
was going on with his, like,
I don't know.
Insides.
I don't know. But he started getting pain in his stomach, obviously. And then they had to rush him to the hospital.
Oh, man.
Yeah. So, yeah, he just went about his day, you know?
Good Lord. Meanwhile, like his intestines are just ripped, torn asunder, ripped apart. Jesus.
Mizra was held by the others and handed to police when a team arrived after the incident was reported.
Wait, the other guys that were all laughing at the prank?
Yeah.
Then now they're like, oh no, we're going to hold you and turn you in.
Yeah.
Ugh.
The workers said that Ravinder had been staying in Delhi for the last 4 years. Incidentally, he had been instrumental in Mizra being hired at the factory after referring the man to their labor contractor because they belonged to the same village.
God, with friends like that, who needs enemas?
Yes, you're...
Definitely not Ravinder.
All right, nice. All right, props. Yeah. The workers also admitted that they often played pranks on Ravinder because he frequently wore tattered clothes while at work. That's even sadder.
I was about to say this. It's like the depth of just depravity here. Yeah. It's like, what dicks? They forcibly sodomize him with an air hose, murder him.
Yeah.
And then they mock him on a daily basis because he can't afford, like, new clothing.
Jesus Christ, guys.
Man.
You know?
Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. And they're making our iPhones.
Yeah.
Over there. You know, I don't know how India works with the afterlife, but I've seen Nightmare on Elm Street. Mm. Remember what happened in Nightmare on Elm Street?
He made a woman eat cake until she exploded.
Well, there's that. But okay. I mean, the reason he became Freddy Krueger or, you know, the nightmarish demon is because he was burned alive by like a gang of parents. And then he came back to haunt their children.
Sure.
Don't you think Ravinder here is going to come back with an air hose?
Yeah.
And he's just going to go and just shoving the air hose up all your kids' assholes.
I think so. Yeah.
It's going to be vengeance will be his because I don't think this guy is going to go to a peaceful death here.
Yeah,
peaceful slumber.
He definitely won't have the repertoire variety of Freddy Krueger, you know. But hell, he'll have something.
He should just get the whatever device that was the No Country for Old Men.
Yeah, yeah.
That Javier Bardem had, whatever that guy's name was in that.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that would work. Jesus, mm-hmm. God, that's a horrific story.
Yeah, yeah, it man. Was.
Uh-huh. Workplace shenanigans.
There you go.
God, my coworkers on my birthday decorated my cubicle, you know, with silly meme pictures. I was annoyed by that.
Yeah.
They didn't try to shove like an air hose up my asshole. Yeah. That would have just been insult to injury there. People, send your stories. Sigaroundpodcast@hotmail.com. We have phone calls to get to next. It's 323-522-4032. Before we get to that, though, here's a word from Adam and Eve.
Hey, kids, do you like sex toys?
Yeah!
Then go to adamandeve.com and make a purchase using coupon code DIDDLE. You'll get 50% off your first item, 3 free adult DVDs, free shipping, and a gift so sensual I can't even mention it on this podcast about murder and bukkake. Support Sick and Wrong by supporting our sponsor, adamandeve.com, and making a purchase with coupon code DIDDLE. That's DIDDLE, D-I-D-D-L-E, like your uncle used to do to you.
So we have a few phone calls to get to the Sick and Wrong hotline here. 323-522-4032 is that number. The first call we have is a guy who's commending you for a recent interview that we have that you arranged on the show.
Okay.
Yeah. Commending Harrison.
Hey, Sick and Wrong. I got to give the old golf clap to Harrison, man. He got a pretty damn good guest. This Norman Oler guy, you know, who wrote the...
Is this Cali Bear?
Yeah.
One of Harrison's arch nemeses.
Praise from Caesar.
You know? Cali Bear is actually giving you a compliment.
I know. It's a rare.
It's got to be backhanded.
Yeah.
We'll see.
But Blitz, because as I'm listening to the podcast, I'm starting to realize, like, it sounds really familiar to a guy who... Terry Gross of Fresh Air of NPR did, and I Googled and I realized that was the same guy that she interviewed, that you guys interviewed. So, you know, like in one case I'm listening to, like, you know, a world-renowned interviewer, you know, and she's interviewing this guy, and then, like, you know, 6 months later I tune in to Sick and Wrong, like this show for like retards and shit jokes and
fucking
cannibalism, and here you have the same guy on.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously it's a different style of interview, but...
No, he was on like CBS This Morning and all these other shows, you know, so, yeah. I was shocked when he agreed to it, you know.
You know, that's the thing. A lot of people... Because I usually, when I email people, I just say, oh, it's a comedy podcast based in Los Angeles, you know, been around since 2006, you know, blah, blah, blah. I don't usually come out and say the name Sick and Wrong directly.
Right.
Unless they ask. If they ask, I'll say the name of the show. Mm. So oftentimes, a guy like an author just wants the publicity, doesn't even bother to check.
Yeah.
And when they don't bother to check, that's when you get like a famous person, like Chris Hansen.
Mm.
Yeah, I was surprised Chris Hansen would do the show. Mm. I was surprised Norman Oler did the show.
Yeah.
We've had Mary Broach on. Mm. I remember Mary Broach. Have you ever heard of her? She's written a lot of nonfiction books. She wrote Stiff about what happens to your body when you donate it to science.
Mm.
But she's been on TED Talks, NPR, a bunch of other shows. She came on Sick and Wrong, I think, because she probably didn't do any background checks to find out, like, you know, what type of show it was. But then afterwards, she was like, you know, this is one of the more fun interviews I've had. And so I was like, oh, that's kind of cool.
Yeah.
And I bet you Norman Oler probably felt the same way. It's like you go on, like, Terry Gross's show. Sure, millions of people will listen to you. But you go on Sick and Wrong.
Yeah.
And, free flying with the Sick and Wrong guys. Maybe a couple thousand people might actually listen.
Yeah.
We have more than that.
I still thought it was pretty cool that you guys were able to to get this guy because, you know, I mean, I'm honestly shocked that he would come on the show, but, you know, I had talked to you guys and I thought the interview was good.
All right.
Keep the dick along.
There you go.
You know, it's a compliment, all
yeah,
right?
Yeah, it is a compliment.
Little bit of, if there, it's a bit, yeah. a bit of, it was a bit backhanded.
Yeah.
However, so because well,
remember, he always
guy.
Has a problem with my contributions to interviews. This guy,
he has a problem recall. With you in general. He does, for some yeah. reason, I don't
yeah.
know why.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think it's funny. You think Cali Bear is like a closeted Sick and Wrong listener? Do you think he doesn't go out and like tell people about it?
I think most people are like that,
and that's yeah. why yeah. we'll never be world renowned.
Right. Exactly. You know? Yeah.
That's why we'll always be a niche yeah. podcast.
Yeah.
You know, listen to just like the privileged few.
Yeah.
Okay.
Exactly.
Yeah. You know? Mm. Anyway, thank you. I'll take a yeah. compliment anytime I can
sure.
get it. I appreciate that.
Yeah.
All right. The next call we have here is a shit story that happened in Oakland.
Okay.
Okay. So, Dean Harrison, I have a shit story for you.
Right.
So, I was in Oakland two
it's
weeks ago at a show seeing Incantation and Exhumed. And,
yeah.
I know exactly where he saw that show.
Okay.
Oakland Metro. I guarantee it's the Oakland Metro.
All right.
It's just a spot in Oakland that has a lot of metal shows. And I've seen Exhumed there. I've never seen Incantation there, but I've seen Exhumed there before. Matt Harvey's band. Great, great gore metal band.
I haven't seen Exhumed there. I've seen Entombed there.
Another good band.
Yeah, I haven't. I'm fucking around with you. But
They are a good band too, yeah. though. But anyway, Oakland Metro is kind of a divey, like pretty dirty metal bar in downtown Oakland.
Okay.
It was towards the end of the show, and I was kind of drunk, and I go into the bathroom, and I walk into the men's bathroom, and there's, you know, all the urinals are filled with people and all the stalls except for the back stall. And in fact, there's actually a line of people waiting for the urinals, but the back stall,
man.
The handicap stall is completely open. So, you know, I walk in and I'm like, well, this is, why is it open? But I was like, whatever, I got to piss. So I walk into the handicap stall. And then I see why nobody wanted to go into the handicap stall. See the back wall of the handicap stall right by the toilet.
No.
Just had a spray of shit.
Oh no.
Just fecal matter just sprayed all across it. And there was just a huge puddle of piss all around the toilet. And the toilet was pretty much overflowing with piss and toilet paper, and you know, I was pretty drunk at that point, so I just kind of walked in there and I stayed as far away from the shit spray that I could, and urinated in the toilet and got the fuck out of there.
Wow,
spray.
He did it anyway.
Yeah. Throwing away my shoes at the end of the night, but you know, I was thinking to myself,
hope it's worth it.
How could that shit spray possibly be there? And the only, or how could have someone.
Yeah,
I've done that because there was so much fecal matter, and it was sprayed over such a large area.
It's
I think
like a
the only way
blast.
That it could possibly have happened is if somebody had actually pressed their ass against the wall, and then just shat some sort of diarrhea solid fecal matter mixture and just sprayed it.
How would that happen?
Anyway, it was pretty fucked.
I can tell you what can make you shit like a shotgun blast. Crystal meth.
Oh, yeah. I bet you that's
like
what it was.
Just like explosive, just like psh,
do you think
know?
It's because you've been constipated and holding it, and all of a sudden you do some meth, and it just shoots out of your
I
ass
think
just
so.
Like a blast?
Yeah. I think it's more like after, like you do shit when you're on meth, but afterwards, like when you're coming
just
down.
Explosive diarrhea.
Yeah, you just have explosive diarrhea where it's like psh, and it's
well,
like,
I think with something like this, I mean, the way
and it can it's sticky, it'll stick to walls. It's real sticky, you know.
This guy, though, this guy's saying that the guy like press his ass up against. I doubt that happened. Yeah, I mean, okay. Was he standing on the seat that? Yeah. I don't think that happened. I'm thinking there's probably something like that. I mean, they do a lot of meth in the Bay Area. I imagine like the guy probably just like came in there, had to shit really bad, pulled his pants down, and just shot out like a shotgun. However, it's a handicap stall.
Yeah.
Now, handicapped people, you know, I mean, it could happen. Handicapped people don't have the best direction.
I'm not coming down with you. I'm down this path with you.
I'm just saying it's like, you know, it's
We're
difficult.
Not walking arm in arm down this road, you and I.
Have you ever had to help a handicapped person shit?
I haven't.
Neither have I. Thank Christ. I'm just saying, like, if I did, I wouldn't be surprised if, like, shit got everywhere all over because they're handicapped.
I would say if I was helping them, you could be damn sure that it's not getting all over the goddamn place.
It would be getting on me because I'd be pointing them away from me.
Yeah, I'd be pointing them at the fucking toilet.
Yeah, you would probably, judging by what you said about the blind guy you were couple skating with, I imagine you'd be like, no, this guy's fucking handicapped retard shitting, and I don't want him on me. I imagine you'd say something terrible like that.
When I was 12, maybe. You know, not now. Anyway. Hold on, we're not done here.
While. But the show was great. Incantations was fucking amazing.
Awesome band.
Exhumed was good. Not as good as Incantation, but that's it.
Great.
God, what a hell of a shit story. It's disgusting. Why would you go? Why would you take a piss in there? I guess he must have been pretty drunk. As soon as I walked into a stall and was covered in shit, I would just leave.
Sometimes you do the math in your head about the line and how badly you have to piss and how far you need to stand away from the toilet. You know, there's a certain algebra involved.
I guess the shit proximity meter. Mm. I don't know. I guess maybe you could just stand back and just piss, you know, from afar. Yeah. But God, it must have smelled awful. Mm. Anyway, we have one more call to get to here. Jizzy Jake, a very drunk Jizzy Jake, surprisingly a drunk Jizzy Jake. Have we ever heard a sober Jizzy Jake?
I don't think so.
A sober Jake? He's not Jizzy Jake when he's sober. Jake. Yeah. Jacob. But anyway, drunk Jizzy Jake calls in, and with a friend. It's kind of funny. It's like they tag team this call.
All right.
Hey, y'all, motherfuckers, it's Jizzy Jake. And, it's C-doobity-doob. And we just want to call and tell y'all that, you know what? We feel nothing but fucking love for you sick motherfuckers. Just fucking love, man. Honestly, man, if I could kiss the tip of your dick, Shmooshy Cums probably would do that.
And people wonder why Norman Oler would come on the show.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, honestly, it's like the author of Blitz. Yeah. Why would he come on Sick and Wrong? I have no idea.
Yeah.
With a 10-inch pole.
You guys are Uma Thurman and Pulp Fiction, and we're John Travolta right now. We're just going to go home and beat off.
Oh! Hey, so check this out. You guys are like ZZ Top before the sex change. Oh! Deeps, hold on, Deeps.
Deeps, throw some fucking knowledge on these sons of bitches.
Hey, my dog doesn't understand that he needs to talk to him. Huh? Fuck him.
Yeah. Hey, no. At any rate, this is Jizzy Jake.
His dog doesn't understand why he needs to talk to him on the phone.
I think he means is his dog like his buddy.
Oh, his
like
friend. My dog. My dog, son.
Yeah, like my dog.
Like it's 2003. Okay. Got it.
And C-Dub talking about some real fucking shit.
Real shit.
Because you know, Jizzy is a fucking celebrity on this motherfucker. If y'all don't think he is, you're lying to yourself. You fucking...
I don't like how they're being hype men for each other.
Yeah, I was about to say, it's kind of I don't know, like Morris Day and the Time or whatever. Yeah. It's like you get hype men in the background.
Yeah.
You know, I would say Jizzy Jake is a celebrity on the show. Mm. Reason being is most of his calls are like five parts, and we play them on like Patreon. So he's a celebrity on Patreon.
And the funny thing is, I doubt he's a patron. You know?
No, I don't think he's a patron.
So he'll never know how magical he actually is.
Well, that's like, the thing.
When
like,
we played his call, that was the most amazing thing that
we
ever happened.
We played several calls of his. But the one the one where he's getting like, I think pulled by a truck in a bathtub, and he broke his arm or something.
And then he has sex with an old lady, and then counsels her son.
Yeah, and like hung out with
video
her
games.
Preteen son.
Yeah,
it was an epic narrative. However, it was way too long to play on the regular show.
Right.
So we played it on the Patreon show as a bonus, and that's why like I don't think our regular audience knows Jizzy Jake.
Right.
But on the Patreon audience, the people who are patrons. He's a celebrity.
Yes, absolutely.
Sold him.
Hey, whoa, hold on.
You sold his ass.
Hey, I have not been sold. I'm still standing right here telling you all that, hey.
We're coming to that fucking LA party.
What do you suppose they're drinking, or what color spray paint do you think they're huffing?
Silver. To answer your second question,
wild turkey.
Yeah, grasshoppers.
Yeah, grasshoppers. Yeah, they're drinking grasshoppers.
Yeah.
Huffing silver spray paint. That's what. That's how you get this drunk.
We're coming to that fucking shit.
The 666.
We're going to 666. And if y'all don't think we're gonna be there, we're coming up with a fucking bottle.
Yeah, this is the party that Batman villain is throwing.
Oh, Todd.
Where he's going to put you into a giant wicker man and light it on fire.
So Todd, the Batman villain. Uh-huh. You know, I like Brandon, but I think I'm going with Todd now.
I'm glad you came to my way.
I think Todd. I like Todd.
Yeah.
He definitely seems like a Todd. As I was editing the show, I was like, you know what?
Yeah.
Harrison's right. He's a Todd.
Yeah.
Todd the Batman villain. So Todd wants to I think I'm calling Todd's bluff. Todd said that he's going to fund a party for us.
It's bullshit.
I think it's total bullshit.
Nobody's gonna do anything.
However, if Todd is listening right now and Todd wants to pay for a party at Jumbo's for episode 666, we'll promote it and we will happily attend.
That's the most pussy ass fucking pro wrestling call out I've ever heard in my life.
All right, you do
it. If the Ultimate Warrior is listening right now, I'd like an RSVP to my wedding. And if he doesn't, I would at least appreciate a call. You know, like.
All right, you hype it up then.
Hype what up?
The funding of the party.
I lost my train of thought.
All right. Anyway, if you want to pay for a fucking party at Jumbo's, go do it.
Yeah.
Because I don't think we're going to put much effort into it.
Excuse me. My God, any fucking bar, guys.
Yeah, I guess it doesn't have to be Jumbo's.
I'll go to a fucking thing. If there's, you got to pay me for my drinks. I don't give a fuck.
Yeah, that's the thing. That's the key. Paying for our drinks.
Yeah.
Because if we have to put any money into it, I don't think it's going to happen.
I don't give three fucks.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
A liquor and it's going down.
We're coming in like some floater crack. Wait, hold on. I shouldn't tell them that. They won't let us in. Hold on, wait.
No. Yeah, exactly.
Oh, we probably.
Hey! Hey, hold on.
Hey!
Tell Sick and Wrong how sick you are.
I'm sick enough. I think I'm gonna be sick.
She's gonna be sick!
This guy's actually sick.
Hey, listen, we'll be there. Alright? 666.
Alright, now we're coming 666.
666.
Great.
Yeah. See the busy jig out. 666.
Six, six, six,
six, six, six.
We'll get in
here.
Six,
six, six, six,
six, six,
six, six, six.
Does it go on like this for a long time?
All right.
There's
another
20
seconds
of this. Hey, I was about to say, if this keeps going, maybe we should cut it off.
Oh, hey,
all right. I say we should.
Oh, my God. Hey, copyrighted, trademarked, and a stamp, motherfuckers.
Mm. All right, who do you think could drink more, Stanley Stanko or Jizzy Jake?
I think Stanley Stanko.
He's Canadian.
Yeah, he's Canadian. Yeah. He could just, you know, it's cold up there.
You know, that's the one thing. It would be amazing to have an epic party and have all these, I don't know, cretins meet up. You know, I think it'd be great. You know, it'd be like wading through the shallow end of the gene pool.
Yeah.
And it'd be nice.
Yeah. Marco.
But it's I don't see us spending any of our money to do this.
No.
But if a fan like Todd wants to put some money into it and like actually book a party and organize it, I'm totally down with going there.
Word.
I'll DJ it. Me and Harrison will DJ.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be kind of fun.
Mm-hmm.
I'd be down with that.
All right.
Play all the sick and wrong songs of the week. Mm. But this whole like being pressured here into having a party, I don't know how I feel about that.
No, it's kind of whack.
I know. It is kind of whack. Wickety whack. Mm. You have these guys being like 666 and like kind of egging us on. You know?
Sure.
I don't know how I feel about that.
Look, if there were enough people in the in our area of the U.S. to have a fucking party,
maybe
consider it.
You know? I am considering it.
Yeah.
I am. We have to do something special for episode 666.
True.
It's going to be a big one.
True that.
Anyway, people, call the Sick Wrong Hotline, 323-522-4032. As we say every week here, best way to support the show, the best way, hands down, the best way to support the show is becoming a Sick and Wrong patron.
Hmm.
You can go to patreon.com/sickandwrong. You can donate at several different tiers. But if you donate at least the $5 tier, then you have access to all the bonus content. And we are putting out a lot of bonus content these days.
Right.
A lot of extra shit. We always do one extra Patreon news story. We always do two extra Patreon phone calls. And we do outtakes. And then on top of that, we have other stuff that we post. Kind of on a whim.
Right.
I mean, I think it depends on how you're feeling. But we do have a lot of extra stuff coming your way down the Patreon pipeline. I do know Harrison has a few books he's going to be putting out very soon.
Mm-hmm.
We are in co-host, the episode of co-host.
New one's coming out this week.
Yep. Also, I'm going to be going to San Francisco, so I'm going to get part three of Meth and Scabies. The story of my brother.
Oh, great.
And what's going on with his meth-infested boyfriend.
Super psyched.
Yeah, so there's going to be, and this is all posted just, it's Patreon-exclusive content.
Mm.
So go to patreon.com/sickandwrong and join up today. It's a lot of fun out there. Also, Sick and Wrong merch, if you're interested in that, you can go to the Redbubble store. It's at sickandwrongpodcast.com/store. Just click on the picture of the Pope and buy some Sick and Wrong shit.
All right.
It's kind of cool. Sick and Wrong song of the week, I'm going to have to dedicate this one to Charlie Manson. Maybe we should dedicate it to Charlie Manson's grandson.
Okay.
Who got his body. Or maybe we should dedicate it to all the people at the funeral who got covered in Charlie's ashes by the wind. That's dedicated to them.
Just dust in the wind.
Dust in the wind, yeah. The Beach Boys here, Never Learn Not to Love.
Mm-hmm.
So this is interesting. Yeah. This is a song that was recorded before the murders. Since Charles Manson and Dennis Wilson met in early 1968, Dennis was kind of like the drug addicted Beach Boy.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, he died?
A lot of them. Well, they did a lot of drugs. Beach Boys eventually.
But Dennis though went in and out of rehab, and then he eventually died by drowning by Marina Del Rey.
I thought he killed himself.
No, he drowned.
Oh, okay.
But he was drunk. Mm. Maybe he did kill himself, but he was drunk, and I guess he was looking for money that he had dropped like years before.
Okay.
And he dove in the water and he drowned.
Mm.
The drummer had introduced Manson to his friends and even set up a session to record a demo, which would be released in 1970 as Lie, the Love and Terror Cult.
Right.
But no one was willing to give Manson a deal. Dennis did, however, manage to get one of his songs onto his band's 1969 album, 2020.
And that was one of the things that enraged Manson, because they changed the song and then they also didn't give him credit.
Exactly.
They didn't pay him properly through the proper channels.
Yeah, this was a small coup for Manson. He was upset about it. The song's lyrics about getting a girl to submit went largely untouched, and they changed the original title, Cease to Exist, to Never Learn Not to Love.
Mm-hmm.
Worse, Manson didn't even get a writing credit on the LP.
Yeah.
Needless to say, he was not pleased.
Yes.
Yeah, so it sounds like Manson's kind of upset. However, it's a pretty cool song. Like, we're going to give Manson credit. We're
going to
give Manson credit for this one.
Yeah, I like the song.
We're going to give Manson credit. So I'm going to dedicate this one to all the people who are covered in Manson's ashes. The Beach Boys, Never Learn Not to Love. Here, we're going to end the show with that one. People, we'll be back next week with episode 628. Until then, take a sleazy.
Lance Wackerly, he looks like the manager of the asshole store. Goodbye.